Expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Boom shaka laka laka boom.
Who's that?
Who dat? So it's Sunday once again. Another week of craziness. Anyway, today is March 3rd, 2024. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson, and my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting, is not here. She is on assignment. They're having a fundraiser up there in Wairika, my hometown. Anyway, the kid that rocks around the clock, faster than a speeding internet, connects more powerful than a high-speed download, 10th degree black belt and rammed, Cyber Dave Johnson is in the house!
Good morning, you beautiful, amazing people.
I start sounding like Russell Brand.
No, I gotta have a little bit more of that Aussie in my...
He's English,
but... beautiful, amazing people.
There you go. Yeah. You wonderful... worldly, beautiful people. It just goes on for like 10 minutes.
You spiritual, amazing creation.
Like, stop. Oh, well, we got a show. It's jam-packed as usual. Where do we start is always the question. I mean, the news cycle just goes, it's just like I always say, the news cycle is a spin cycle because not only do they spin all the facts, there's so much of it that's just disinformation as well as information that's actually valid. It's hard to keep track of this stuff sometimes, you know? I mean, the craziness continues probably right up until...
I could say you could sum this election. Whole week up into one word. Oh, you know the thing.
I have a comparison here and a theory, and we'll talk about that, about where we're going, if Trump gets reelected and so forth. And I don't know if I want to start there or not. We also have... we're going to talk a little bit about money, and maybe I'll start off with this. Maybe I'll play this. Recently, not too long ago, we had the anniversary of Lavoie Finicum, his murder by the FBI up there in Oregon, and he was working with Ammon Bundy and all of them. And so I wanted to play this short clip of what, and it's titled "What Political Corruption." Looks like, and what they did to this family, you know, back then everybody was, you know, questioning, you know, the how rogue was the FBI, you know, I mean, but now we know how rogue the FBI's been, and you know, it's been a few years later, and I'm not even sure how long ago it's been now, but I just wanted to play this because we don't want to forget about Lavoie Finicum and that whole murder. I mean, that's the only way to put it out there in Oregon. I'm going to play this, and then we'll go from there and decide where we're headed. Here we go. Oh, hold on. I guess I got to plug my computer in here. Let me find the cord. Here we go. I think I got it right here. Where do we go? Do we have a cord over here? We're having technical difficulties. Don't mind. Got it. All right, here we go. This is Ammon Bendy.
Tell you here what we just discovered. But I have to give you some background. Now, you may or may not know, but my family and I were thrown into international media limelight because the BLM claimed they owned my father's ranch. And with over 200 armed federal agents, they tried to drive him off his land, killing his cattle by helicopter, burying them in mass graves, destroying the water infrastructure that was over 100 years old, tearing down fences and corrals, leaving baby calves to die by thirst or by coyotes without their mothers. When we peacefully opposed them with their snipers on the hills, BLM agents sicked dogs on us, tased us, and even body slammed an elderly woman to the asphalt. Now, I'm not talking about BLM, the liberal, communist, American-hating organization Black Lives Matter. I'm talking about the liberal, communist, American-hating federal agency called the Bureau of Land Management. People had had enough of them and drove them off the ranch. However, the heads of the Bureau of Land Management colluded with the heads of the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they threw my father, brothers, and I in prison for 2 years, along with others who stood with us. In two major trials, we were all found not guilty of all charges. We spent 2 years in federal prison and were never convicted of any crime, not even a misdemeanor. However, the not guilty verdicts enraged the BLM, FBI, and the Attorney's Office. It is common knowledge that the BLM and the FBI hate the Bundys. They will do almost anything to see us destroyed. While we were in prison, the BLM, FBI, and the U.S. Attorney's Office changed documents, hid evidence, and flat out lied on reports and in testimony. When the Chief Judge found out about it, she freed us to go home to our families and made these statements in the court records. Quote, "This case is so grossly shocking and so outrageous as to violate the universal sense of justice. Here in this case, both the prosecution and the investigation agencies, BLM and FBI, are equally responsible. The government willfully failed to disclose potential exculpatory, favorable, and material information. The assistant U.S. attorneys acted flagrantly, willfully, and in bad faith, and made affirmative misrepresentations to the court. The court finds the prosecution representation grossly shocking. It seems no coincidence that most, if not all, of these documents are authored by the FBI. There was at least 1,000 pages of discovery withheld from the defense. This court finds this conduct especially egregious. The court finds that a universal sense of justice has been violated. The BLM, FBI, and U.S. Attorney's Office lied to the court, doctored documents, and withheld evidence because they hate the Bundys and wanted us to rot in prison for the rest of our lives. But by the hand of God, we were delivered from them. However, they have never stopped seeking for ways to destroy us. Now, after baby Cyrus was taken, we found out that FBI agents were behind the scenes manipulating and pushing St. Luke's buttons. Then there's the presiding judge over the St. Luke's lawsuit, Judge Lynn Norton. Yep, she was the one who had such a bias against me that she made sure this case went from a lawsuit of only $50,000 to $52 million. Well, guess what? It was just recently discovered that her husband is a longtime, highly paid employee of the Bureau of Land Management. Yep, the BLM. Now, wouldn't you think that if you were assigned to preside over a case against Ammon Bundy and your husband worked for the Bureau of Land Management, that you would recuse yourself? Why would the Ada County Court assign a judge to a case when she has such close ties and bias towards the defendant? Wouldn't this be a conflict of interest? This case is so public, and I have been in the Idaho News so much, that it would be impossible to believe that this was done by mistake. The Ada County Court not recusing Judge Lynn Norton is like two young teenagers making out in public. If they are willing to do that in the open, what are they doing in secret? The Ada County Court, at the request of St. Luke's Hospital, have taken my home, my farm, they have drove me out of Idaho and displaced my family. They took my bank accounts, my wife's bank account. They locked up all my personal assets. Now St. Luke's, with the Idaho courts, are blocking others associated with me from making business transactions. This is complete tyranny made possible by usurpation and corruption, all driven by hate and fear.
Does any of this sound sort of vaguely familiar to what's happening right now with, I don't know, J6, Trump, Fannie Willis, due process, lawfare, corruption? This is what it looks like, and we've been seeing a heck of a lot of it lately. Oh, and the other side that wants this, Trump's the devil, Trump's this, Trump's that. Everything that these people are doing is on the up and up, except that it just keeps falling apart on them because they're not on the up and up. They are corrupt. They are political tools. And they take people's property without due process. The corruption is staggering. And, they violate the Constitution, routinely. Just like with Trump here in New York. I'm looking up the Eighth Amendment right now. What it says is excessive. The Eighth Amendment of the United States Constitution says excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishment. Is a $500 million an excessive fine for a valuation on a property where there were no victims of fraud at all because they can't have any, there's no fraud because the people they borrowed the money from got paid back. They agreed to the loan amounts. They agreed to the valuations that they came to terms on. Nobody lost any money. Everybody got paid back. But you can then now take all of that, and that's why people are fleeing New York, especially in the real estate industry, because all this, it's different with Donald Trump. No, it's only different because he's the target at the moment. See, what the left doesn't realize is that it's only temporary. You're temporarily safe now only because you're not the target. What happens when you become the target?
Well, and this gets back to the whole situation. We have now going on 4 years, and you've got a whole bunch of people that are still in jail that have not been offered a trial.
Right.
How is that okay?
Well, that's why I'm bringing this forward and kind of looking at what's going on now. You know, we've got the J6 people, and I have a little clip here on J6 that kind of puts it into perspective as well. Let me see if I got this here. I can pull it up here. So this kind of talks about what J6. Now, this comes from company or whatever they are, Forgotten. It's called Forgotten History. That's a organization that goes back and examines things and puts them in perspective and takes the facts and tries to put them in line with reality, or at least puts the perceived reality in line with the facts. So I'm going to play a little short clip from this, and then we'll go from there. Here we go.
After the 2020 election on January 6, 2021, while a congressional certification of the presidential election results took place in the United States Capitol, President Trump held a noon rally at the Ellipse near the Capitol in Washington, D.C. The liberal media made much of claiming that he called for the election result to be overturned and urged his supporters to take back our country by marching to the Capitol to show strength and fight like hell. Despite his speech where he stated that they should march peacefully and patriotically and basically remain law-abiding citizens, that part of his speech they always edited out when creating their skewed reports. Many of his supporters did march to the Capitol, where the media reported that, around 2:15 p.m., the mob broke into the building, disrupting certification and causing the evacuation of Congress. What the liberal media failed to relate to the public, as well as suppressed by the January 6th committee, was that hundreds of people were invited in by the Capitol Police, as seen on videos, and many were even escorted through the building. Some, like the famous QAnon shaman, Jacob Chansley, they were given a guided tour. The media claimed that during the event, Trump watched it and posted messages on Twitter without asking the rioters to disperse. That was another lie. Trump actually sent messages through his social media, including a video, such as Twitter, asking people to refrain from any violence, demonstrate peacefully, and then disperse. He even did a video message asking them to go home. In fact, according to Reuters, the FBI has found scant evidence that the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was the result of an organized plot to overturn the presidential election result, according to four current and former law enforcement officials. The January 6th committee ignored the report. Dorsey, the liberal fraud who owned Twitter and was complicit in working with the government to suppress opposing voices during the election and during COVID, had lied to Congress under oath. He was like Facebook leader Mark Zuckerberg, as well as other social media platforms. Dorsey deleted all Trump-related tweets where he told the crowds to be peaceful and go home, allowing the Democrats to make these claims. But Trump still had them, proving they were sent. When Elon Musk bought Twitter, this was exposed. But the Democrats were not done spinning their version of events. As the media reported, and as stated by National Public Radio, according to the Department of Justice, more than 140 police officers were injured and 5 people died. In fact, the only death that day was unarmed U.S. Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt, who was shot by Capitol Police. The only federal official death was Officer Brian Sicknick, who sadly died the next day, apparently of an unrelated medical condition, from an acute brainstem and cerebellar infarcts due to acute basilar artery thrombosis. 2 strokes at the base of the brainstem caused by an artery clot, according to the coroner's report. The media also falsely reported that he had been beaten with a fire extinguisher, although one had been thrown. His death the next day was not connected to the event, according to the medical examiner. Even Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez referred to the Capitol riot on January 6 as a terror attack, which she said resulted in almost 10 dead. Besides Babbitt and Stop the Steal protesters Kevin Greeson, 55 years of age, and Benjamin Phillips, 50, both dying of cardiovascular disease and the manners of death were deemed natural, there were no other deaths. What was the real story behind the so-called insurrection? A government overthrow that, for the first time in history, had no open display of firearms, pretty much a requirement to overthrow a government these days. My colleague, Bill Carrico, was...
I'm going to stop it there, and then if you want to watch the rest of this, you can go to YouTube and... It's the truth about January 6th insurrection, forgotten history. And I think it's very enlightening, because my point here is that, you know, the government is so corrupt it's, you know, absolutely off the charts. But the media, the mainstream media, is going the way of the dodo because it's so corrupt. I mean, we're seeing all these deals that are being brokered by, you know, Spotify with Joe Rogan, by, you know, with Dan Bongino. He's up to 3 million followers. You got Jimmy Dore. I mean, there's some high profile people, media personalities that are garnering these audiences because they're fleeing the mainstream media outlets for information, because all you get is lies and distortions. And so it's hard to know what the truth is anymore about anything. And you have to do your homework and you have to be careful, and study the facts yourself to a degree. And even then it's difficult. But what we can ascertain on some of these things, by using some common sense, is that our government is out of control. The media is lying, in most cases about everything. And, it's pretty easy to prove in most instances. So, you know, and now you got New York, you know, prosecuting or persecuting Trump, and then Fannie Willis, that thing down in Atlanta. Good grief.
On that Trump subject, man, that's really been on my mind a lot, and it has been for a long time now. Like, I've been one of these people that, at least since 2020, has been black-pilled, basically. I think that at the end of the day, We're looking at a corrupt system that stole the election originally. Nothing is going to prevent them from trying to do that again, aside from people end up standing up in their local areas, as we've been doing now. But you look at what's taking place across the country right now, I think they're going to try to make it to where you don't even have a chance to vote for the man.
Maybe.
They're basically make it Nikki Haley by default.
Maybe. I mean, she's hanging around for a lot of reasons. Maybe they're hoping he's going to get thrown in jail. But, I think if they put him on Devil's Island, his pulse numbers would go up at this point. So they're going to have a hard time stopping this. My fear is assassination. And, it's just like here. We get death threats. We've gotten quite a few death threats here, on the chat room and everything else, and threats about being prosecuted by the FBI. We're terrorists, all this crap. And, and they keep using the term terrorist for a reason, because that's right out of, the Patriot Act. So if you're deemed a terrorist, then all of a sudden you don't have any rights. Thus the insurrection and the terrorists on J6, because these guys have been languishing without trial, that's completely, absolutely contrary to everything the Constitution says as far as guaranteeing rights to the individual citizens. In fact, citizens are becoming, it's getting to the point where citizens have a lot less rights than do illegal aliens. Or now they're called newcomers, I'm sorry.
Well, and so this is the crap I'm talking about. So you've got our VA that now is putting our people that went and fought for us, and they've got issues, they're putting them to the side so they can treat illegal aliens in our own country. You've got places like New York that are handing out $10,000 credit cards to these people so that they can end up buying whatever they deem culturally appropriate for them. I think this whole crap right now, they're ignoring allowing Trump to actually appeal that bogus $400 million lawsuit. They're not letting him do that. And at the same time, they're trying to go through and confiscate his buildings.
Right.
To then put illegal aliens in there.
See, that's the people that support that. That's right out of the Communist Manifesto. And oh, you talk about the Communist Manifesto again. Well, maybe you should go freaking read it if you haven't, because they asked Lenin or Trotsky or Stalin or somebody. I don't remember who the exact quote came from, but that's kind of immaterial, because when they asked him what if you could sum up communism or Marxism in one thing, what would be the point or the goal? And the abolition of private property. When the government can confiscate everything you own using excessive fines without bail, with no due process, you don't have a constitution anymore. You have a police state dictatorship. And that's what Marxism does. Oh, this whole idea is they're going to spread all the wealth between all the people, and we're going to live in utopia, and you need to have social justice and economic justice. The people that buy into that are just plain stupid, because what ends up is you always end up with a dictator who owns and controls everything, and everybody's standard of living goes down, because when you take away incentive for working harder, what you do is you put the incentive there to not work at all at some point across the board, because if you do work hard, they take everything, or they redistribute it to everybody else, and pretty soon everybody's standard of living goes down, products and services go down, and nobody has a good lifestyle at all except the guys who are running the shows at the top. That's the whole lie about Marxism.
Well, and meanwhile, too, you've got these people at the same time, while all their funds, all these things are going out, you've got these kids on TikTok that are complaining that they're paying $5,000 a month for a one-bedroom bath inside of the same room.
Right.
And they're paying $5,000 a month for that. They're not getting anything out of it. And you've got these illegals that are complaining that they're getting put up in penthouse suites and they're not getting enough.
Well, and, we're going to get a little bit into the money and the economics of that as well, because one of the tenets of a Marxist state is, I think it's platform number five, as opposed to combo number five, you have to have a central bank that controls the currency. We've got that. Gee, is that a Marxist? We actually threw all the tea in the harbor. We're going to go into this a little more. But before we do that, I want to show you, now it's what it's like in New York here. So let's go. We're going to play this. What do we got? We'll play it after the break. We got to go to the break. But we want to show you what it's like in New York. We got a bunch of clips to play here. Like I said, we're going to talk about Trump some more and the voting. I mean, this whole voting. See, when you get a Marxist state, what these people don't realize is that you don't get to vote them out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. You can always vote yourself in communism, but the only way out of communism is by fighting your way out. That's it.
Don't care who votes. I care who counts the votes.
All right. On that note, folks, you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We'll see you after the break.
Healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, exhibitor demonstrations. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $8 admission, 6 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday we honor our veterans with our free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Elwood Ranch, Pedigo Reading, Bridgeford, Garage Force, Crown Motors, and California Customs. See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
All right, so we are on.
I guess we're back. I was waiting for the music. That's okay. We can do it. Maybe we should just play the music anyway. Where were you?
So we were talking a little bit about New York and about the situations there and what New York is like. And I have several friends that have lived there, and we were just discussing a story about how one of the people here was actually living there in New York as well, and it was just bad. You've got these concrete
cities. It's
getting
worse and worse and worse.
You've got no trees. The parks are just non-existent, and you can't go to them because of the homeless encampments and all the rest of it. You've got everything that's overwhelmingly crime-ridden everywhere you go. You don't have any ability to really provide for yourself with the amount of money that you're there, so you're normally shacked up with five or six other people. And this is where you get all of these ideas mentally of, hey, let's have communism now because that'll solve it.
Yeah, I know. The music was going to be Tom McDonald, The Machine, but evidently YouTube won't let us play it.
Really? That's not surprising.
I know. I thought you'd like that.
Well, I heard that one, and it's I think one of his best yet. But what's really interesting is they actually ended up going through and like what you're talking about. They censored it.
They censor everything. It's like I've been getting censored on the neighbor whatever. What is that neighborhood thing or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Because anything they don't like you to say. It's like, oh yeah, they just block you out. They block out the video. I posted a video on something. They blocked it out. So it's just ridiculous. It's crazy because, they can't have a debate of free ideas on a free market platform because they will lose the debate. It always goes into triggered, calling names, censorship, you know, like they did with Trump, on his Twitter account. They censored all the stuff that, was exculpatory to the fact that he was starting an insurrection or a planned insurrection, which is ridiculous. Because I don't know, last time I heard that if you're going to storm the Bastille, you might want to do it with arms because, the guys that you're storming all have them. So it's just ridiculously stupid. But I want to play this clip real quick. I want to play a quip real quick.
So one quick thing before we do that. So the Tom McDonald Machine song got censored on YouTube based upon the fact they called it political propaganda.
Right. Yeah, and because he's telling the truth.
Well, and here's the lyrics to it. I'm not Republican. I'm not a liberal. Why the hell can't I just be American without getting political? The system's going to suppress us all. They don't care about the cost. How is this democracy when we got communists in charge? Cancel culture and Nazis. They're all missing the all they're missing is the swastikas. Honestly, this is political holocaust. Wow, I can't even believe this guy's able to rap this like that. But still,
I'm surprised you could say it in just reading it.
Pumping propaganda through the screen in straight to your brain. You aren't on the plantation, but you're definitely still a slave. Race theory is indoctrinating children, telling blacks that they're disadvantaged, telling whites they've got privilege. What a brilliant way to reinforce division. If whites believe they have it easy, then they'll never help you fight the system. And now they're burning books in untraditional ways. They've just traded newspapers for the digital age. Now the facts can be deleted with no physical frames, and they're just changed the information and the truth gets erased. But... okay, so where in that is political?
It's an opinion, and I don't agree with everything in his opinion, but I think it's truthful from his perspective, and I think it's truthful as a whole. And besides that, even if it wasn't, does he have the right to say it?
Bingo.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing right now is we are seeing exactly what he's saying. We are seeing a digital age whereby the lie gets told, it gets published on every publication, and then secretly, quietly changed 3 months later.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've seen it over and over and over again. I've got a bunch of stuff to play. But this one's for Chris in there. What we talked about. Here we go.
Yeah, I don't think I was speeding. It's that Trump 2024 sticker in New York City. That's a felony now.
New York City? This looks like Texas.
Ah, don't ruin the video now. But here in New York City, it is both illegal to be Trump or to support Trump.
That seems pretty unconstitutional.
I see you have Florida plates. What are you doing here in New York City?
Well, I'm a trucker for Trump, as you can probably see by my semi. You see, I'm boycotting making deliveries to the city to protest Trump's political persecution where the judge ordered him to pay $355 million.
If you're not making deliveries here, then why are you here?
That's a really good question.
For your offense of using words and your own beliefs to support Trump, I'm going to have to write you a ticket.
For how much?
5 years in prison.
5 years in prison.
I'm not sure.
On February 22nd, 2022, you began attacks on Ukraine.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that one. It flipped over on me.
Do you know why I pulled you over?
No idea.
I'll stop it there. But you get the idea. All right, so we've got...
it looks like Dick on the line.
As Richard. So we have Richard...
Dick as in Richard.
Oh. I was trying to decide. I knew who it was, Dick. I was just messing with you. What's up?
Well, I'd just like to announce that I'm helping the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council. I'm not part of the group, but I know people who are. They're Tom and Debbie Johnson. And they're having, on April 5th, they're having an awards, their 31st annual awards dinner at Eagle Room and Wind River Casino. But anyway, they're having a raffle, two items. One is a Henry Large Loop Lever Action Repeating Rifle, 22 caliber. Tickets are $10, and they're only printing 100 tickets, all there is. You don't have to be present to win. And the second item is a Pit Boss Pellet Stove Smoker, and it's the same thing. Tickets $10. You don't have to be present to win. Only 100 tickets. And if anybody would like to have tickets, they could give me a call on 530-246-9131, or just Google my name and Dick Wilkinson, 530-246-9131. And I have tickets for both of only $10.
You had me at, the Pit Boss Smoker, Dick.
What's that?
I said you had me at the Pit Boss Smoker. I'll put in a few bucks for that.
Okay. I'll be in town. The drawing's not till April 5th, so we got over a month to go.
All right, we'll connect.
So I'll be in touch with you. But anyway, you know, Henry, that's a nice rifle. Henry rifles are actually made in the United States. And it's, Henry has a very great reputation making a very, very nice firearm. This
what kind of rifle is it, Dick?
It's a Henry. It's a large loop lever action repeating rifle. It's a 22 short, long rifle. And Henry makes it really high quality firearms.
Hello.
So anyway, tickets are only $10. And only 100 tickets are available. That's it.
All right. Well, I'm in. Just see me when you get to see me, and I'll get a few from you.
Yeah. Thank you. And anyway, again, 530-246-9131. And I'll drop by at the Big Red Barn close to off of South Bonneville.
Very good.
Thank you for allowing me a few minutes. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mark.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Dick. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Okay, so you know, going on here with the it's just so insane. I mean, it's hard to process it sometimes because we are getting so far away from a free society, and there's a price to pay, and we're starting to pay it. And you know, everybody's. You know, you could say anything, and some of the people are so brainwashed. It's almost like Nazi Germany, where they said that the Jews were the target. Now it's white supremacists. You know, and it's so reminiscent of that. It's ridiculous. You know, anything you don't like, you blame it on somebody else. Anything that's a problem, you blame it on somebody else. There's no accountability, and I got a comparison I'm going to show you on between Trump and Biden, and I'm not even saying that I trust Trump. All I'm saying is that if I gotta pick one, it's definitely not the one that's in the office right now. But what I want to do is I want to play this. This is from California, and California has a non-U.S. citizen immigrant who was sworn in San Francisco's election commission. Gee, there's no manipulation here. Why would you have a Chinese national all of a sudden in charge of your election commission?
That's scary. That is very, very scary that you've got a Chinese national, which, as many people know who listen to the show, China has now made it to where you have to do whatever China says. So if China says you need to go over and carry out this attack on somebody, you've got to do that. You've got to report back anything you want to, or your family back over in China can get arrested. That's China.
I'm glad I don't have family in China. But, you know, they even had to swear this gal in Chinese.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. So I have a short clip here. This is from the New York Post. You know, you can believe whatever you want. But, gee, does controlling our elections seem like a big thing these days? Just saying, here we go. Well, I think here we go. What happened? Try it one more time here. What did we do? Lose the internet? No, we have internet. Huh.
Well, meanwhile, as everything here is burning, while you get that loaded up.
Oh, I think I got it up. Here we go. All right, so here we go. I'm not sure what happened there. That's kind of weird, but here we go.
Kelly Wong is not an American citizen. She cannot legally vote in this country. And yet, she was just sworn into the board in San Francisco of the San Francisco Elections Commission. To add insult to injury, they did the whole swearing-in ceremony in Chinese. She says, oh, I'm not great in English, so let's do it in Chinese. Okay.
It's unbelievable, but I think If you want to understand this, Maria, you have to appreciate the fact that these people view themselves as global citizens. They view our borders as arbitrary lines on a map. They think anybody should get here for any particular reason and be granted amnesty. That's what they believe. So it used to be a time where they were just writing white papers from some liberal think tank. The problem now is they have completely populated the spaces that people make decisions, including the White House. And so now we have this big problem. And so I think the American people need to stand up in November. We need to do everything we can right now to sort of hold Mayorkas responsible and Joe Biden responsible. But this can't be the way that we go. This is how civilizations, you know, ultimately lose their way. And well, the idea of having an open border where anybody can come here from anywhere without asking any questions is nuts.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's nuts because, gee, we're starting to see all of these crimes committed, and they've sent, you know, we don't know who's in there here, but we also know they've been emptying out their insane asylums and their jails and their prisons and sending them over from various countries all over the world. What could go wrong? I mean, you've got the Georgia student that was killed. That's the tip of the iceberg. This goes all the way back to Kate Steinle. I mean, and it's going to continue to happen, and they're going to continue to try to cover it up because this is about political power, nothing else. And they think that they're going to overwhelm the voting system and get their guys in. So by hook or crook, I mean, that's why we're having such a problem here in California and in Shasta County in general. They don't care if they cheat. I mean, it's pretty obvious that they don't care that they cheat. I mean, they don't care about having a voter ID. They don't care about local control. What they care about is power. And in order to maintain their power, they got to have these political drones in positions of power. And they'll do anything to do it.
Well, and this is the thing, too. Everybody's talking about the President of the United States and the presidential campaign. The fact of the matter is we need to really be focusing on the Senate and Congress. Because without that, you have these guys that will get in there. Let's say we do get Trump. Some miracle happens magically, and we're able to get Trump back in. Everything he does by executive order can be undone by the stroke of a pen.
Well, I think what he's going to do is undo everything that Biden has done with the stroke of a pen, and that's probably a good thing as a start. Now, do we trust Trump in general? No, we need to take over the Congress and the Senate. You're absolutely spot on, and we need to get people who are pro-Constitution in there, who are pro-freedom, who are pro-America.
Well, we need to kick out these rhinos. Quite frankly, we have way too many of these individuals that haven't done a damn thing for us. They act like they represent us, but at every opportunity take money from people who are our enemies and vote against us.
And why would they be so against Trump? I mean, that's the question. Why are they so dead set on, by hook or crook, trying to keep him out of this election? Why is it that they are so afraid of Trump? You know, they've trumped up false charges. Fannie Willis, you know, and the whole insurrection is totally provable BS. I mean, the whole fraud in New York, you know, it's all BS. Everybody knows it. They've been doing this since Russia, which we've now found out recently was instituted by Brennan at the CIA. Why are they so afraid? I have some theories, but let's listen to Trump's attorney here and see what she has to say, and then we'll go from there.
Biggest message I can give the American people tonight is that he's not going to get away with it. Letitia James is not going to get away with it. The Biden administration is not going to get away with it. There is a point, and I want to say something that different than I normally do. We have the order now. I'm free to speak. And let me just say, as somebody who sat there in the trial, Sean, and I'm so happy you invited me on to say this, they will not get away with it. We will come at them. We will come hard. And we will literally fight until the truth comes out. There was nothing wrong. President Trump has done nothing wrong. All he has done is won a campaign, and that is scaring them because they know when he goes back in November 2024, he is going to clean house. The biggest message I can.
So I think that's what the message is being sent. And then you got the people on, well, it's going to be retribution. He's going to be a dictatorship. We'll never get rid of him. Really? And that's...
We are under a dictatorship right now. You look at the guy over who was reporting the news for the Blaze on January 6th.
I have that story pulled up right here in front of me, as a matter of fact. It's brilliant minds think alike, I guess.
They just arrested him.
They just arrested him for reporting news.
He did his job. Now, mind you, the guys who ended up going in who were reporters for places like CNN and the rest of them, those guys didn't get charged. Him being on the Capitol grounds and being there present recording not in the forbidden areas, he gets arrested for that. It's like that guy that ended up doing the Lady Ballers movie. He had a role in the Lady Ballers movie. He ended up flying back home after the debut of the film, and he was greeted by feds, paraded in front of the whole plane, and arrested.
So that's what we've been threatened with on every level. Oh, the FBI is going to get you. The FBI is going to get you. Well, maybe they have. Maybe they are. But the real deal is, are they going to get me on trumped-up charges? So they arrested this Blaze Media journalist, put him in handcuffs, and perp walked him in front of everybody so the camera could get, and they're sending a message to anybody who doesn't like this. This is arrest captured on video and posted by the Blaze. Glenn Beck showed a handcuffs and jacketless Steve Baker being escorted by the FBI agents from a building to a car. And he was charged with four misdemeanors related to his reporting at the U.S. Capitol. What? Mm-hmm. So you're going to arrest a person, not write him a ticket, and you're going to make
sure.
4 years
after the fact.
4 years after the fact, and you're going, so this is sending a message to everybody who's an honest journalist, or even a journalist at all, that if you don't do what we want you to do, we can arrest you. And a week earlier, the FBI ordered Baker to surrender himself on Friday morning. Baker said the FBI told him to arrive at the field office in shorts and the sandals, and he arrived in a suit and tie instead. Baker announced back in December he expected the Justice Department to charge him over reporting. Now, what charges reporting? How do you get charged for reporting on January 6th? So, on Tuesday, he spoke out about his upcoming arrest, stated that he's required to turn himself in at 7 a.m., that he would be transported to the Dallas courthouse for a hearing before the magistrate. My attorneys have also been assured by the government that this will be an in-and-out affair and that there will be no intention of detaining me. Then why the big perp walk? Why the arrest? Why the FBI? What are the misdemeanor charges? You got the story wrong? Mm-hmm. Gee, well, then that means half of the mainstream media should be getting perp walked right now, right?
You would think, but unfortunately, it's once again the whole idea of
selective prosecution. That's what this is.
That's what it is. And you look at the World Economic Forum. Their number one thing on the agenda for this year is censorship.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it in a nutshell. They want to censor anybody that they don't like or is saying something they don't want to hear.
When you look at these things, all right, so they're going after Twitter, now X. They're going after Rumble. They're going after all of these things. It's always been, oh, if you don't want to be censored, make your own thing. Well, they make their own thing, and now you're trying to pass legislation that makes it to where those places cannot operate.
And this goes across the board, whether it's January 6th, whether it's the election, whether it's Biden. The vaxes, I'm looking at a report right here. Embalmers report strange blood clots and a rise in excessive deaths. Oh, wow, that's we can't report that either because that makes the guys look bad down there at Fauci and company and Biden and all those guys. Oh, well, but Trump authorized the vax too. Yeah, but then they got in charge right after that. And would he have changed his position? Who knows? The point is it doesn't matter. This isn't about Trump. This isn't about Biden. This isn't about this. This is about free speech. This is about the truth. This is about the media being able to report the truth on all sides of issues. Not, we get to pick and choose what you hear because we want you to have selective hearing so you can be mind-melded into the Borg, based on what we feel is politically correct. That's what these idiots and these Marxists and these local, it's just like the moron that talked about, oh, the guys that got shot in St. Louis. Oh, I guarantee they're maggot. And then the mea culpa was, well, it doesn't matter, because I'm right anyway, because you gotta get rid of the guns. In the meantime, he's practicing like Doc Holliday with his own gun. So maybe you should be the first one to give up your gun then, because maybe you should hold yourself to the same standard as you're trying to hold everybody else.
Well, and they'll never do that. And even these people, you look at what's going on with a lot of these people that say, oh, let's get rid of all the guns, right? Sure, I don't carry a gun. I have no need for a gun. You have freaking five people right outside your house, and they all have what? Guns?
Right.
Oh, okay. You just don't want me to have an ability to protect myself.
So it's okay if they have free speech. They don't mind giving up all their guns. But and they say, well, yeah, they got rights. They have rights. Well, Second Amendment's a right. So we should just give up. So that's the issue. Oh, gee, let's just, everybody's got to turn in their guns because we said so, because that's the safe thing. And I'm not wrong, because even though I am wrong, and it was, the guys were shot up by a bunch of black kids or something, then it's still the MAGA Republicans' fault, because, I said so.
Well, and it was like,
it was stupid.
You had that mayor who ended up recently coming out.
Walnut.
That mayor recently came out and blamed Trump for the person that had the illegal immigrant that killed the white girl.
Right.
And he goes, oh, well, Trump said these deplorable things back in 2020 and then Charlottesville. And, well, you're the one that made a sanctuary city and you allowed people to end up coming in who are criminals and you did nothing about it. And at this point, they're losing the plot. Like, even these people in the liberal cities, they're finally at the place where Mayor Eric Adams now, he's saying, oh, let's go ahead and deport people that are violent multiple offenders.
No.
I guess offenders are not bad enough. But no, they're not. They're, multiple offenders.
They're not offenders. They're violent newcomers. And they're not criminals. They're undocumented newcomers.
Well, and quite frankly, Hispanics are sick and tired of it, too. You've got Trump leading over Biden with registered voters. 46% of Hispanics said they would vote for Trump, while 40% said they would support Biden. That's pretty telling right there, isn't it?
Let me think. Let me think about it. Biden's been doing just a bang-up job on the economy, on our border. I mean, you know, that's a good... You know, it's just unbelievable. So... They've been having open borders since he got in there. Mayorkas got impeached over it. You know, you got there's no open borders. You've heard lie after lie after lie from all the mainstream media. Frickin' Camel Toe Harris. There's no open borders. And now that there's open borders because they left the borders open, it's the Republicans' fault because of their policies. Even though Mayorkas said that he revoked every policy that Trump ever put in place to keep the borders so that they weren't open, and he doesn't have the power, but pass this $118 billion bill, and where most of it goes to the Ukraine and a very small part of it goes to our border, which is just going to enhance the fact that we're going to have a more porous border because we want to enforce what we have. And through executive order, he could do it anyway. It doesn't even matter who's in charge of the army, who's in charge of the borders, who's in charge of national security, but he needs more money. And no, it's all BS. It's all freaking BS because they want open borders because they're flooding people over here, either to cause chaos or the fact that they want more voters, kind of like in San Francisco, that you don't even have to be a citizen.
Well, I've got a throwback that I kind of wanted to do on this real quick because it seems kind of relevant and important. This is from the New York Times, dated July 28, 1993. President Bill Clinton on Tuesday proposed tighter controls at the U.S. borders on spot judgments for most asylum claims. As the U.S. joined many nations in Europe, they are electing new barriers against the rising tide of refugees. Mr. Clinton acted amongst the mounting public concern about immigration and domestic terrorism, fueled by reports of Chinese laundering by sea and radical Egyptian clerks' efforts to remain in the United States. The president specifically cited the burgeoning trade by smugglers of human cargo and U.S. border. He said, leaks like a sieve. The core of the new policy called for strengthening the U.S. border patrol, imposing stiffer penalties on smugglers, tightening the net to the bar would be terrorists, and providing the vitally immediate deportations of people who are deemed to have frivolous demands for political asylum. In many of these areas, the action by Congress would be required, and the president proposed to spend $142 million to finance the changes. What changed?
Their agenda and their, control that got overpowering so they could control the message until they got all their guys in key positions of power and the media to influence the population to be manipulated into a totalitarian dictatorship police state that they accuse everybody else of.
So I also, in addition to that, have one more little topic, just a small thing, but we know there's a fentanyl crisis currently going on in America. Like, you've got enough pounds to basically kill every man, woman, and child across the country being confiscated on like a monthly basis. But no, we don't got to talk about that. Now we've got a much stronger drug than fentanyl. Nitrazine presents a looming crisis as of the Epoch Times as of yesterday. The new killer has emerged with the illegal drug market, leaving a trail of bodies in its wake. Synthetic opiates called nitrazines, up to 20 times more potent than fentanyl, have infiltrated street drugs from heroin to benzopines, catching unsuspecting users in a web of addiction and overdose deaths. Now, it was fentanyl that killed those three Chiefs fans. They were taking what's known as a key bump. They thought they were taking cocaine. Cool. Gonna have a great time. Watch some Scarface. See how the Chiefs are gonna fare. Nope. It was laced with fentanyl. Three guys dead, and the other guy said, "Well, I guess I should probably go to
town hall."
Looks like we gotta do a break. I'm ranting.
All right. I guess we're gonna go to a break. KCNR1460.com.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Volunteer firefighters, they're on the front lines of those Texas wildfires. Correspondent Julie Walker has more on the story.
They live in the community they protect. Wheeler Volunteer Fire Department firefighters battling the Smokehouse Creek fire, the largest wildfire in Texas, 21-year-old Chase Helton.
We don't want to be on the fires. We don't like them fires coming, but we enjoy what we do, and we're thankful to help the community.
He's at the front of the truck, dousing the flames. 25-year-old Urick Marshall drives the truck through the intense blaze in an effort to help contain it.
Everybody's trying to do the same thing and get it all put out safely and get to go home.
I'm Julie Walker.
Also at townhall.com, there's word that Israel has essentially endorsed a framework of a proposed Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal. It's now up to Hamas to agree to it, but the BBC cautions there are still sticking points.
On the Israeli side, the main point for them is the hostages. They want to know which hostages Hamas intends to release under a deal, and also how many Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails would be exchanged in release for that number. Hamas has always insisted that Israeli troops should withdraw from Gaza and that Gazan civilians should be allowed back, particularly to the homes or what's left of their home areas in northern Gaza.
Word of the proposed ceasefire comes from a senior U.S. official. Three trains involved in a derailment in eastern Pennsylvania that left some railroad cars at a riverbank or along a riverbank. One was partially in the river. No reported injuries or hazardous material concern in that derailment in Lower Sewerkin Township. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The new FedNow system is paving the way for the digital dollar. It grants the government unprecedented access to your financial transactions. This isn't just an invasion of privacy. It's a direct assault on your liberty and hard-earned money. It's another reason why I recommend physical gold IRAs from the Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnow. I'm a news analyst and a podcaster with nearly 25 million downloads to people just like you, who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Big Brother while also preserving your retirement savings through almost anything, including economic crashes, political instability, and even hyperinflation. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. Remember, there's no strings attached. Text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you're blessed with continued prosperity.
A funeral held Saturday for an 11-year-old Texas girl who was killed last month.
At St. Joseph Catholic Church in Livingston, Texas, little Audrey Cunningham was remembered by her family and community. Father Paul Kahan told mourners her death shows how fragile life can be. A friend of the family, Don McDougall's charged with capital murder in Audrey's death. He was able to avoid registering as a sex offender after a previous encounter with a little girl. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Vice President Kamala Harris expected to be among those marking the 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, the day Alabama law officers attacked civil rights demonstrators at the iconic Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. The demonstrators were beaten by police as they tried to march across Alabama on March 7, 1965 in support of voting rights. Breaking news at townhall.com. Elon Musk suing OpenAI and its CEO, Sam Altman.
According to Musk, the company has drifted from its original nonprofit mission by partnering with Microsoft in a $13
billion. There's no plans to expand the Head Start budget. Many have left that job for higher paying positions at restaurants or in retail. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm John Scott.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Looks like we're on, folks.
Okay, I'm going to play this short clip here. Here we go. We got Tom McDonald.
I am not Republican. I am not a liberal. Why the hell can't I just be American without getting political? The system gonna suppress us all. They don't care about the cost. How's this a democracy when we got communists in charge? Cancel culture, Nazis, all they're missing is the swastikas. Honestly, this is a psychological holocaust. Pumping propaganda through the screen and straight into your brain. You ain't on a plantation, but you definitely still a slave. Race theory is indoctrinating children. Tell blacks they're disadvantaged. Tell whites they got white privilege. What a brilliant way to reinforce division. If whites believe they have it easy, they will never help you fight the system. And now they're burning books in untraditional ways. They just traded newspapers for the digital age. Now the facts can be deleted with no physical flames. They just change the information and the truth gets erased. They keep screaming to wake up, but they're all woke, not awake. We know the system has failed us and all the media's fake. I swear the government hates us. Having opinions is dangerous. The system built to enslave us. I am not a liberal. Progressive and traditional are hitmen hired to kill the individual. They label.
I'm going to stop there, and then I'm going to play our town hall. And then we have a surprise guest here that had no idea we're showing up. So hold on a second. Here comes our town hall. Here we go.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. Shasta County's Citizens Election Advisory Commission has recommended hand-counting ballots in future elections, conflicting with state law AB 969, which sets standards for ballot processing. Supporters like Vice Chair Lisa Machado aim to challenge the law, regaining local control over elections aligned with the Board of Supervisors' wishes. However, Commissioner Suzanne Bearmore scrutinized the recommendation, concerned about drawing further state intervention impeding local election administration. She believes collaboration with the Registrar of Voters Office is essential. This issue symbolizes a broader debate over county versus state jurisdiction. While some seek upholding public trust through updated voting protocols, others prioritize self-governance and traditional processes. With another meeting on March 11th, this complex discussion continues balancing accessibility, security, and legitimacy around Shasta County elections. In other local government news, a shocking vote fulfilled a resident's vow. When Redding City Council surprised residents by voting Tanessa Audette as 2024 mayor instead of Vice Mayor Mark Mazzano, resident Catherine McDonald promised legal action over alleged Brown Act violations. She has delivered. McDonald recently sued the city, Audette, and council members Jack Munns and Julie Winter for their decisive 3-2 vote. The lawsuit seeks to nullify Audette's selection and requests reasonable legal fees. Though Audette denies wrongdoing, McDonald hopes to restore Mazzano through court intervention or another vote. This is Citizen Uprising spotlights important issues around transparency and process in local government. Now the court must decide if
rules were truly broken, or if the council majority simply exercised its power, however unexpectedly. The outcome will set key precedents. A catchy wave of change is sweeping over Shasta County high schools as students band together in the Friday Night Live program to say peace out to substance abuse. With clubs at 6 campuses and workshops on tap, these teens are raising awareness of drug and alcohol use. Quote, "We explain why students should avoid risky behaviors instead of just saying don't do it," says the executive director. From leading mentoring sessions to advocating for policies, the students take active roles. Quote, "It's cool to promote sober living and mental health awareness," says club president Jasmine Salee. This youthful energy is creating ripples of hope for healthy futures in Shasta County. In closing, no child is safe from fentanyl's deadly grasp. One tiny mistake with this lethal drug kills instantly. Rich or poor, jock or artist, honor student or rebel, DEA agent Rocky Heron is on a mission to warn Shasta County before we lose another precious young life. For the second straight year, Heron presented cautionary tales, real stories of overdose deaths right here in our community. His goal? Change attitudes and empower youth to say no, resisting the pull of drugs. Heron says talk early and often at home about the grim realities of fentanyl, meth, and more. Schools can only do so much. Parents and guardians, your children's very survival depends on you. Have the tough talks. Visit RockyHeron.com to view the presentation online. Our kids are worth fighting for. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Don't forget to vote in the primary elections next Tuesday. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Well, there you have it. Quite a bit of stuff in that little report. I wonder what the fentanyl death numbers are in Shasta County, but I want to introduce our guests here that I had no idea we were actually even coming in, and I looked at my text and...
Your sister.
Oh, it's my sister. My sister's in Wairika. And you know what's interesting is on my phone, my old phone quit working the screen, so I got a new phone, and then when the numbers came over, they don't have any names on the numbers, so I can't see who's texting me. Anyway, we've got Patrick Jones and his lovely wife, Lori, in here with us in the studio. And they kind of just walked in and sat down. And I guess that's how it works in Shasta County.
Well, you never know sometimes who's going to drop in the radio station, right?
It's true. And we pretty much welcome everybody except the guy that threw the rock through the window. Anyway, glad to see you, and my sister is up at Baird's event up there. And
yeah, and I just got off the phone with Supervisor Kellstrom. He was helping up there last night, as well as Linda, and he was auctioneering. They had a good night. They raised a good amount of money. That money will be split for the Mark Beard versus Bonta case, the
right.
Second Amendment case, and it'll be split with the local sheriff's posse up there.
Oh, very good. All right, so... Where should we start? I had a bunch of stuff on the table here. I was going to talk about Trump and everything else, but I think what I'm going to start with is, I don't know if you had a chance to look at that email I sent you about the Omega 4 America.
I briefly looked at it, yes.
I think we might want to study that, and I'm just going to, you know, obviously you haven't been able to look at it very much, and I haven't either, but it's an interesting concept because they're talking about using AI to go in on the voter rolls to check the addresses and not the actual people who are voting, because we keep going after the vote and after the voters, and they found out in this company that they would go after the actual addresses. For example, they would find a strip mall where the 30 ballots would get to, and there's no bed, there's nobody there, you know. And so they had a very effective thing in doing this. So it might be something we would look into the future. So I don't know what your opinion is at this point. But.
Well, you know, in December last year, we had Dr. Frank come into town, and that was, I think, the second time he came into town. But he had really a bombshell with regards to voter rolls here in California and voter rolls in Shasta County. And what his graph showed, and this was information all that can be obtained from the California Secretary of State's website, if you take a look at this last election cycle in Shasta County, the voter rolls went up, which in front of an election, that would be normal. People would want to register. But then it went down in a very similar percent. And so it went up and then it went down.
Well, that tells you everything you need to know right there, because what you're doing is you're putting enough votes in to win the election, and then you're pulling them out,
and then
so
they're
can't
being,
be examined.
Correct, and then being taken out. But then he went quite a bit further than that. So he looked at one election cycle and saw a pattern that was very unusual. It would be normal that it would go up before an election, but it would not be normal to go down the same percentage. What you should see is a flattening or a slight decrease or increase depending on your population, but not a radical decrease. So then he took a look at the last 20 election cycles here for Shasta County, and over the last 20 years, they went up and down the same percentage for 20 election cycles. Now, that's impossible. But he didn't stop there. He went one step further. Then he looked at every county in California, and what do you know? Every county in California went up and down in the same percentage. The graph is exactly the same for every county with the exception of one county, Modoc. And I have no idea why there, but clearly this
I could give you speculation. I'll let it go.
Well, they may be having a reasonable time with their voter roll in Modoc, but every other county, obviously, it's been manipulated. And what's interesting, when you go back 20 years, you see random patterns with the voter rolls, because what happened 20 years ago? The computer.
Right.
And so this was pretty shocking to see a pattern that obviously they didn't expect anyone to analyze all these voter rolls.
Well, we used to be a red state. We elected Ronald Reagan here. That's what the first election I actually voted in was Ronald Reagan. I didn't vote for him, by the way. I voted against him because I didn't have enough sense. I was too young.
Well, what's interesting is we are collecting right now. There are ballots out there, illegal ballots, fraudulent ballots that are out in Shasta County. And they're being collected. There is a case with the Shasta County Sheriff's Department. That case is still pending. I believe this puts a heavy cloud over our March 5th elections. And just recently, and you've probably seen the news report, L.A. County was just sued and lost over their voter rolls, had not been cleaned for 20 years.
Yeah.
That's the same with all counties. And right. They had 1.2 million extra ballots being sent out. And that's exactly what's happening in every county in California. And this isn't the only way they're cheating. That's what's so shocking.
Right. Well, and then they'll say, well, you got elected based on the current voter registrar. And Kathy, how do you explain the fact that you got in? And how do you explain the fact that we've got three conservative supervisors in our county? Because if they're cheating, how did you make it?
So after you analyze the data, and so while we may have a gut feeling about a particular election, that really doesn't have any weight in court or anywhere else. But when you take a look at the data, like the vote cast record, for example, in 2020 in my primary race, I beat my opponent 2-1. And analyzing that data, the patterns looked very normal and consistent. And when you look in the fall, I knew something on election night was immediately wrong. I ultimately went on to win that, but by a very small percentage, and I knew I beat him by a much larger percentage. And when we analyzed the data, sure enough, there was a pattern of fraud that existed in my race, but I won by a large enough margin that it wouldn't overcome a loss for me.
That's what Trump's theory is on the next election. We're going to swamp everybody with the numbers. But I guess we do have a caller. Ben is on the line, I believe.
So I'm speaking for the caller. Am I too loud? There you go.
No, you're good.
So I just said that I'd say his question for him.
Okay.
So he was it was more of a statement. He wanted to let you guys know that if you go to the public library and try to get into certain Republican websites, they're just completely blocked apparently. They won't show up at all.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean you can do a lot of things. Like there was a court case, for example, where Dominion voting machines was found guilty in a court of law here in California, I believe in I don't know if it was Stockton County, but one of those Bay Area counties, and they lost, they cheated, and they had to reverse the results. If you try to look that up, you won't find it.
Well, and it's like the DeKalb County, Georgia, you can find that one, and there's numerous places where you can go find evidence if you're willing to look. The whole idea has been that there's been no evidence since the 2020 election. But, you know, when you analyze everything across the board, looking at what happened at the Capitol, they never went through and checked out the electors. And so we're seeing voter fraud on multiple scales. And, you know, just the fact that the governor is trying to intervene in our elections by telling us how we should vote should be enough for anybody right there.
Well, when we got rid of the Dominion voting machine, and that was my idea, because I was limited as to what I could do.
Right.
And that contract was a contract that the board either approves or not. The there was no penalty for getting rid of it. And so when I quickly became chair at the beginning of 2023, that was one of the first things that I put on the agenda, was the elimination of the Dominion voting machine contract. And, you know, I didn't know if it was going to pass. In fact, it was a kind of a back and forth, and eventually it did pass 3-2. In doing so, I already knew we had a recount process. So they said, oh, you did that prematurely. We did not do it prematurely. In fact, we're kind of way late on doing some of these things, but I'm glad at least we got that done. And then, of course, the state ultimately came around and passed 969 and said you have to use electronic tabulation. And my response was, that's fine. If you want to pay, if you're going to force us to electronic tabulate, then you pay for it, and we'll still hand count. They'll match, and it'll be a great way to check our data. And they said, absolutely not. You will not hand count. Now, at that point, we knew there
was something wrong.
They were fraudulent, right? Because you should never be unwilling to have a check and a balance system like that. And so at that point, they knew, we knew. So now the only question is, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, that's where we're at, I think, because I've always struggled since the last election about how do we get all these Democrats and all these rhinos in these positions of the key positions, not just the positions, but key positions, you know, the not even counting the Board of Supervisors, but, you know, you've got the election official, you got the sheriff, you got the Board of Supervisors, or Board of Education, you got the DA. I mean, they're all either rhinos or, you know, stated Democrats. How do you do that in this county when it's like 68% conservative?
Well, you know, what we saw in the, in fact, most likely on March 12th, that'll be our next meeting, that'll be after the election, there may be an agenda item there to extend the voter information, the ballot information instead of destroying the information from the June 2022 primary, we're going to try to extend that for 5 years instead of 2 years, because that 2 years is coming up quickly. We want to save that data because we believe, and I did not certify the results of that election in that primary, because I do believe it was fraudulent, and I believe we can prove it, and we'd like to have our day in court.
Well, and then that's another thing coming up, is that if we feel that it's fraudulent, will you guys not certify the election? I know that Stone's talked about it.
It's interesting, you know, and so for me, I've already proven that I didn't certify the June 2022 primary because I knew it wasn't correct. I will certify if it's true and correct. I will, and I think every board member will. If I believe that there was any fraud taking place, then I can't. I have no choice. And so where does that leave us? I think it's a little bit of uncharted territory there. But, you know, we're going to do what's right. And, you know, of course, the left will complain that we're disenfranchising voters and all these things. But the bottom line is I'm not going to certify something unless it's true. And I'm already seeing illegal ballots going out. In fact, in my district, we just had a couple that they live in the same house in Lakehead. They have the same P.O. box in Lakehead. She just recently received her ballots in the mail. She got two and he got one. And that's District 4, my district. But on his ballot, he had a District 3 race for supervisor and not District 4. And yet the wife's was correct, even though she got two. And these are the kinds of things that we are uncovering that are out there. Now, the county just sent out, I think you saw the press release yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. Actually, it was Friday. They sent out a press release saying that there's been an ad on the radio stating that if you've had any of these types of things, here's a phone number and give this person a call. And that person was Bev Gray. She was my appointment to the Shasta County Election Commission, so she is a commissioner. The county put out a response in that, we don't authorize that, and just send them to the ROV. Well, that's been the problem, and it's been the problem for 20 years.
Well, the ROV is a stonewall. I mean, everybody knows it. She doesn't cooperate with anything. She doesn't give access to anything.
I believe this county is extremely close in getting sued on the voter rolls, just like L.A. County did, and it's avoidable. You really do have to clean up your rolls, and right now we know it. We have warned the county. The presentation was made to the county. They are aware of the situation. They must take action before March 5th. That gives them 2 days to do so.
You know, it just cracks me up, this whole, you keep seeing these commercials like on the cry recall. Oh, we want to keep local control here. That's how come we want the government to be able, or the governor, the governator, whatever, Gruesom, Newsom, or Trump's got a new word for him. It's the Newsom. Retaining local control, because they throw the Anselmo thing up about, you're getting money from Anselmo. I propose that let's make it even across the board, and you've talked about it. Why don't we just make it a cap on, like, say, 50,000 or 100,000, and that's all you get?
Well, I tried that. Unfortunately, under state law, that is not allowed. And now we can set our limits. So we can, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, can set a limit. The problem is that by state rules, that PACs and unions are exempt. So it's never going to be fair.
Yeah, and so that's the thing, is that if you got one side, and they're taking money from all over the place too. It's not like they're not getting, a bunch of grassroots guys down on the corner that are all donating.
Well, you know, Tedessa Audette, our current mayor right now, just got $75,000 from the Pascana Band of Indians outside of our county. That's very interesting. I wonder why that occurred. So we can talk about a lot of different outside money, but let's talk about this. You know, we have this small PAC here in Shasta County. It's a conservative PAC. It supports conservative concepts and conservative candidates. Why are we not talking about the 1,000 PACs in Sacramento and beyond that control every Senate and Assembly race,
right?
For the most part, right? We have 1,000 PACs that put out tens of millions of dollars here in this state, but yet they want to focus on a small conservative PAC here in Shasta County that supports certain individuals or concepts, and it's only because it's conservative. And how come certain people are getting that money and not? Like Supervisor Mary Rickard has complained about the particular PAC. Well, if she's so conservative, she should be getting some of that, I would think. I would think so. No, she didn't get any of that.
I am not a loss for words right at the moment, and I'm never at a loss for words because what Mary Rickards is.
And it's okay for Mary, for example, in 2020 to put in $117,000 of her own to buy the election, right?
Right?
It's okay for her to do that, but it's not okay for someone to donate to a conservative PAC, and then that's going to help conservative candidates.
No, but if you're going to buy your election, at least you're local.
And I want to put a shout out to the Shasta County Republican Assembly, that they took the bold step, and they've been running radio ads for their supported candidates. I'm one of those supported candidates, and so they're affecting some change through what they do. They believe in conservative ideas, and then they put some money on the ground to help those candidates, and that's what you should do. You should be affecting change in your county the best way you can. So I give them a lot of thanks for that.
So another, I guess, not necessarily one to change the subject, but talking about, the money on the voting machines, the fact that, getting rid of Dominion cost millions of dollars. You hear all these ads.
Yeah, that Dominion contract was horrible. Whoever did that should be brought up on charges. Lease, a $2.2 million lease, plus there was lots of other charges in there. And so when we went with Hart, and we really only needed to spend about $600,000 with Hart to purchase what we needed, and then that's ours, and it's good for at least 15-year lifespan. So, and the ROV, Kathy Allen, is not being honest, because she was going to recommend to the board very shortly to go ahead and get rid of these old Dominion machines and purchase the Hart Civic machines. So we simply did what she was going to recommend, but she's not big enough to tell the truth.
Well, I think what we should do is get James O'Keefe in here and have him go to each door-to-door on the donations, because he had that one segment where he'd go to the door and he'd say, did you donate like $10,000 four times? And they'd go, I like donated $10. I think that would be interesting.
Well, it's interesting. If you take a look at some of the donations from the folks that are yes on the recall, you will see a heavy slant towards Democrats. And those same people supported and gave money to Biden and to Obama. And so you see a big trend there. And the fact of the matter is, when then-candidate Cry won his election and became Supervisor Cry, they started the election before he even took his seat, because they want control of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, which is what they've had for decades. And we're not going to ease.
Do you think the governor will appoint? Because that's one of the things. There's nothing to.
No, they wrote a letter. He won't appoint. They wrote a letter to him.
Yeah, he's not going to. He wouldn't do that, would he?
Well, let's take a look at the last seven vacancies on supervisors. And he appointed five Democrats out of seven. The two he didn't. The names that were given were Republicans, and so he just let those go. So he has a clear pattern. If you put a Democrat forward, he will make that appointment.
So that's all they did was put Republicans forward, and that's why he didn't appoint.
That's correct.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
So again, a lot of misinformation, but that's pretty normal in elections. Is unfortunately people can say whatever they want, and it's very difficult for the public to know what's the truth. And, you know, and so that's the unfortunate thing. People have no trouble with lying today. And I invite a lot of people to take a polygraph. In fact, if you'd like to, I think I'll pay for your polygraph and we'll go head to head on any subject you want.
You're looking pretty hard at me. We have to go to a break, but go ahead, Laurie.
Well, what I was going to say is we've been out walking the neighborhoods, and it's very interesting. And one person did bring up, the Dominion contract. They canceled a perfectly good contract, but it's like, no. I mean, even if you took away the fact of hand counting, just take that out of the picture. And let's just say we canceled the Dominion contract, and there was no, repercussions, nothing. You know,
there's no
penalties for canceling. And you look at the new system we bought. If you just change system for system, we are saving the county money. But the narrative the other side put out, these people are misinformed out there. I was surprised. Some will listen, some will talk, some will just yell at you. So anyway, it baffled me when they really are good at putting misinformation out about.
Well, let's go to our break and real quick, and we'll come back. And I kind of want to talk about salaries a little bit, just as a curiosity. You know, how did the sheriff get so much salary? Let's go to a break.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM 1460 AM. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Who are you gonna call? Nobody. Think a Chevrolet that they're going for good. Who are you gonna call?
California. This is Rollin from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Wind River Resort and Casino invites you to join us in Seasons for our event night special on Saturday, March 9th. From 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., enjoy a delicious taco bar that will have your taste buds dancing in the ring. Only $10 with a River Club card. And that's not all. From 5 p.m. to 1:30 a.m., stop by the Seasons Bar and take advantage of our knockout drink special. A $7 shot of Patron Silver. For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Been seeing fewer visitors, but city officials say there is no reason to be concerned.
It's absolutely safe to enjoy all that Chinatown has to offer.
When are you feeling awesome? Out for a drink in Chinatown, and next thing you know, you're gone.
support Chinatown, support China.
Think of a good things later. Wondering if you're gonna die now. Just cause of China. Ain't too many back.
Comes from China.
When do you think? Because you live in New York City.
9/11 was nothing compared to this.
Blame the Chinese. Though it's true.
They say xenophobia is at a high.
Sorry you think because you're in New York City. If it's the COVID flu, if it's the COVID flu, just stay home.
Stay home.
Go up. Politicians are now working to combat racism.
Chinese started the coronavirus.
Yeah, just continuing our New York theme, little ditty there.
when they said stay home, I wonder if they were referring to Kathy Allen.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, because she's been home. She hasn't been to work.
Well, you know, she's probably knitted a sweater from here to China.
That's true. That's true.
China.
I said China.
Well, speaking of China, I did have this one article.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Okay, go ahead.
Boeing has agreed to pay $51 million fine after its foreign employees in China and elsewhere downloaded sensitive data related to military aircraft like fighter jets, attack helicopters, and the plane that carries the U.S. president. The fine would resolve 199 violations of federal arms export laws and rules identifies an extensive compliance review in Friday into the aerospace company, the U.S. Department of State said on Friday. So some of the violations occurred in 2013-17, in which three Chinese employees at Boeing facilities in China downloaded the data related to three fighter jet models, the F-22, F-18, F-15, and Air Force One.
Did you say China?
China.
What could go wrong? Yeah. So let's get back to local politics here. Which kind of are the same, considering everything that's going on. I just have to ask you this. Now, I've pulled up TransparentCalifornia.com, and this is from 2022, and I don't even know what the current salary is for our sheriff, but I was kind of shocked now that you're here, we might as well ask you the question, how did it get so high? Because he's got regular pay at 210, other pay at 32, total pay at 243, benefits at 60, another pension at 106, for a grand total of $410,000 per year, and that was 2 years ago. Has it gone up?
Most likely, yeah. No, it's pretty shocking when you go on to that, and that is, you know, what the total pay and benefits are, and that's what's costing you, the taxpayer, to have one position. I didn't support the price tag was supposed to be $195,000, which I already thought was pretty excessive, and that the last minute at the time, I think it was Chair Chimente, bumped it to $205,000, and the board approved that at that time. I did not. And then, of course, you have the benefits. The other pay, you know, there, unfortunately, when you take a look at all the certificates and all the things, there's about 8 pages. When you take a look at the bargaining and so forth of, you know, you get 5% if you have this certificate, and you get 2% if you have this certificate. There's 8 pages of that. So I suspect that 32,000 other is all the other certificates that he has and others within the department. And so they're constantly doing more training, getting more certificates, which then equates to more pay. And that is what's happening.
I think the president gets $400,000 a year. Just saying.
Yeah, and it's obviously he doesn't take home that amount, but that is what it's going to cost you, the taxpayer. And the big burden here is that retirement, because we are underfunded to the tune of about $1 billion on this, which means we are in debt. We have
just Shasta County,
not the city of Redding. Wow. That's separate. Anderson, wow. Shasta Lake.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, so you have 90,000 people that have a debt to be paid of about $1 billion. So we've been taking around $30 million a year out of the general fund to try to fill this gap. And if everything goes well in 30, 40, 45 years.
Assuming the stock market doesn't collapse.
Which it will, because it goes up and down, right?
Right.
And so, it's a huge cost to our general fund. And this CalPERS thing, that's why I don't take CalPERS. I've always turned it down. I've never taken CalPERS from the city of Reading. I've never taken it from the county. I've saved now the taxpayers over $600,000 just from my time being elected.
Strictly from a monetary, you know, and I think in financial terms, being that's what I do, I think that might have been actually a really smart thing and maybe not so benevolent, because if you've been taking your money and putting it someplace else where it could actually grow,
yeah,
you're probably better off than what's going on in CalPERS, because the promises don't equal the realities.
And we talked about China earlier, and so if you want to dig a little deeper, take a look at the what's happening with China and the California public retirement system. You're going to see a connection there that's undeniable. And this thing is really in bad shape, and it never had to be. It didn't have to be this way. It's the largest retirement fund in the world, and they put themselves in a very bad position. And all those people out there that have retirements, they're
not going to be happy.
They may have a problem at some point.
I agree. I've been saying it for years. We've been talking about it for years. It's just it's unsustainable, as you use the term. And I went in and looked at their prospectus. And, you know, back in the day, they were investing in Iranian oil wells. What could go wrong? So now we're in Chinese green energy and all kinds of different stuff. So there's a reckoning coming, whether they like it or not. And I think that you've got to get a conservative board in there, as we have now, and keep them in there, because I think you need to audit the departments. You need to have a pay scale that's going to be commensurate with reality. You know, you've got to get this thing in a position to where not all these people are going to lose their jobs. I mean, they're already in jeopardy, and they don't even know it.
Well, and the sooner we talk about it and get a fix for it, then the system becomes stable. Right now, it's wildly unstable. So it doesn't benefit the employee. But as you know, most of the county employee organizations, they do not support me. They've always supported whatever opponent I've ran against. They've always gotten the union support. But it's what happens when you say yes every time. You say yes, 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 and you end up becoming or getting into a system of insolvency, which is not good ultimately for the employee. And, you know, so it's an unfortunate thing. And, you know, it's affecting all kinds of people. I mean, you talk about California Highway Patrol, Cal Fire. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that could be and will be affected by this. But it is a big topic. We really haven't talked about it much in this race. And I just wanted to remind everyone that my election is over on Tuesday, so just a couple days away.
You'll know one way or the other.
March 5th, there's only two people in my race, and it will be over that day. The Kevin Cry recall will be over on March 5th as well. It'll either be yes or no. And so several of these races will end in 2 days. Some of the others with multiple, more candidates.
We'll vote in 2 days.
Correct. Yeah, that is true. And that is the one fear that I have, and that's my only uncertainty. I know what kind of campaign I've ran. I know how much work we've put into it, and the effort and the boots on the ground, the TV ads, the radio, the mailers, all the effort. The only thing I can't control is the cheating, which is real, and that highly concerns me as to what's going to happen. It's really difficult knowing the work that you do, and, you know, somebody deserves to win and lose every race. That is the way that it's supposed to be. This cheating has to stop. And it's not going to stop this year. But I believe if people like me and people like you and the good patriots here in Shasta County that have risen up, if we keep put the pressure on, I think we will fix it.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to fix it, because if we don't, it's the consequences of these elections are going to be so irreparable that you're going to have to think about moving out of California, I think.
Well, and here's the thing, too. If every single one of us goes and talks to our neighbor and says, hey, neighbor, this is what's going on. This is the candidate that I'm supporting, and this is the reason why. Maybe you're not informed of this, but over these next couple of days, this is so critical based upon the fact that we are one of the only places in the entire nation constantly making headlines for the fact that we are seeking out the truth. We are going after all of these corrupt elections. We are going after and getting the information. And if they want to, they are going to try to cheat and make it stop.
Well, that's why we've been targeted as the redheaded stepchild of the counties in California, because we're actually revolting against this overreach of the government at so many different levels here. And we're saying, hey, we're free. This is America. The Constitution still applies.
Well, and getting rid of machine tabulation and going to hand count. And then you saw the state's response by passing AB 969 on an emergency status. That should tell you something right there, because the amount of votes that are in Shasta County should not matter in the big picture of things, right? They shouldn't matter. There's not enough votes here to affect who's going to be the president or who's going to be the next governor. It's not. We have that. We don't have that ability. But yet look at the extraordinary effort that they did to make sure that we have to electronic tabulate, because what was going to happen is you were going to see some different results. Mm-hmm. You were going to see something different than hadn't happened before. And that would obviously show a pattern of corruption that has existed for at least 20 years, maybe longer. But
well, you can't have the slaves revolting.
Correct.
Yeah. You can't have them finding out the truth.
Right. So I got a question in the chat room for you. It says, are the unions working on the SB2 resolution about the county employees carrying firearms? What's going on with that?
So that's an interesting one, and I'm glad that came up. And so so what happened was, as you know, starting January 1st of this year, the governor signed into law, the legislature passed it, so SB2 went into effect January 1st. That pretty much said your CCW isn't good in most places, including the county buildings, government buildings, state and local government buildings. There was a stay put on, then it was lifted, then it was put back on. But the stay that was put back on through the duration of this court case, the stay did not include state or local buildings. So I, working with members of the California Rifle and Pistol Association, we found a loophole within that law, within the Penal Code, Section 171B, Subsection 4, says that a local government organization in charge with security of their buildings can allow CCWs on their property. So that's what we did. We passed a resolution that said if you have a valid California CCW, you can now come onto all county property. That's in effect now. I went one step further to say I would like that to extend to county employees. So we took that back. We started looking at that. And what we found actually was within our own county policies that already exist, we do not have to meet and confer on this issue because it already is allowed on our policy now with the approval of the CEO, our Health and Human Services Director, Monica Fugit, and the department head. So if all three of those people agree, then a CCW, a county employee that is properly permitted can carry on county property.
And they did agree?
They
all agreed.
Now, so what I'm going to do is I want to monitor that, right? I want to see if people have been applying, have they been accepted or not. Now, if they've had some discipline action, that's when HR would say, hey, we've had a little bit of discipline action, so maybe that person isn't qualified. But I want to see that data because what I want to see here, and I would expect to see, that it matches the same population of people in private sector, right? So we have around 12,000 CCWs out of 180,000 residents, so I would want to see that same percentage of county employees. And if I see that, then I know people are being accepted. And there are definitely people that have asked me that are county employees, how come we can't? And before what was happening, and I had a county employee, he was turned down by the CEO at that time. Well, we have a new CEO now. We have a new support services director. So I expect now to see 10 to 15% of the county employees properly permitted to be able to carry on county property. If that does not work correctly, then I will create a new violence and workplace policy, and then it will be a meet and confer with all the unions. But right now it doesn't have to.
Okay. I got another question, though. I'm thinking about it. All the disruptions in the meetings that we've been experiencing.
Which meetings?
The ones that we've been having down at the Central Perk coffee shop. No. the Board of Supervisors meetings for those people who haven't been paying attention.
Yep.
What are we going to do about that? Is there anything going to be done about that? Is the sheriff going to step in? Are we going to start enforcing the law and the rules apply evenly to everybody?
So as you know, it was a great honor for me to be chair last year, and we have a few what I call very left-leaning individuals, a handful, probably about five, that like to yell out from the floor and disrupt our public speaker, which is now infringing on your First Amendment right.
Right.
They think they have a First Amendment right to yell out from the floor. They do not. And you cannot disrupt a public
meeting. Support their First Amendment right. They can get up there, get their 3 minutes like everybody else. If they want to go out and speak out in front of the courthouse or whatever.
Correct.
I totally support whatever they're doing there. I don't agree with them because I think they're a bunch of, never mind. but I've been interrupted myself on several occasions by a certain individual who doesn't mind going up there and speaking and doing his 3 minutes, but then he comes up with signs.
Right. These same individuals that are disrupting, they want their 3 minutes uninterrupted.
Right.
But not for you. You're different. And so it's just a double standard that a handful of people have. So it's an easy remedy under Penal Code Section 403. If you disrupt a public meeting, you're warned once and then you shall be removed. Now, the authority to remove would be given by the chair, and then the sheriff deputies that have powers of arrest would remove that person for disrupting a public meeting. That is how it is supposed to work. That is what I've asked my sheriff deputies to do and what I've asked the sheriff to do. The sheriff refused to do that, and then he instructed the sheriff deputies not to do that. And so
what's the point of having him there then?
Well, it's they're there for multiple reasons, obviously. But for that reason, I believe that they're not enforcing the penal code that we have. They're clearly disrupting a public meeting. I've had several meetings with the sheriff. We do not agree on that penal code. I know the current chair, Chair Cry, has had meetings with the sheriff. You know, it's unfortunate because once you deal with it once.
It's just going to keep occurring until something happens.
Right, but I mean, if the sheriff dealt with it correctly, quickly, then that type
why
of
why not just cite him? You know, I mean, it's a misdemeanor. Who cares? Give him a ticket.
But if you did fine the person $1,000, which would be allowed under the law, then that activity stops. Right,
and that's what I'm saying.
That's how you control. So I've had to, when I was chair, I had to shut the meeting down several times, call recesses. So we lose 10, 15, 20 minutes of the day. But at the end of the day, we had more meetings last year than we've ever had. We've had more public comment than we've ever had. And we got more done than we ever have, even with the disruption. So while the headlines in the paper might say that the meeting was disrupted, we lose 20 minutes in a 24-hour day. And at the end of the day, we're going to get our work done. And I'm very happy with the amount of work that we got done last year. And we're on pace now this year under the leadership of Chair Cry to do even more.
So, and the other thing that they do is they try to start ruckuses out in the halls with certain people as well. Not that I've ever been involved in any of that, but so that's another problem. And people that want to go there, don't want to go there to, you know, have to get in a fist fight out the hallway because somebody won't leave them alone.
Yeah, and so I'm not in the hallways very much, but I can see, you know, from where I'm sitting that there has been some disruption. And again, Securitas, our private security, has done a pretty good job out there. They've tried to hold the peace real well, and so I'm impressed with what they've done. They just simply don't have powers of arrest, and that's really where, when we have that type of issue, is where the sheriff does need to come in. And I'm hopeful that sometime this year that starts to occur. And I'm also hopeful after this next election that things kind of calm down in those areas.
Well, we are in an election cycle, and it always seems to get ramped up.
It does seem to be up. And so, because I don't mind criticism from the public. You know, when you have your 3 minutes, I give you a lot of latitude, and Chair Cry does too. Because we have pretty thick skin. We're used to it. So you can say just about anything you want to us. You can call us stupid, dumb. You can call us whatever you want, which they have. It unfortunate is not going to solve anything. It isn't going to fix anything. And we're usually not going to listen to you when you're rude.
Well, those attacks are designed to go after you as the board of supervisor for election purposes to
right.
try to design you, you know, to get votes away from you.
Well, one particular commenter continues to say that we're going to be arrested and go to jail, and yet she's been in jail and she is a convicted felon. So I always think they're very comical.
Yeah, I guess that's the pot calling the kettle black, if you will. So I have a question on the public comment. Now I've noticed that and we had problems with this before, and I want to get your take on it, where the public comment was being put at the end of the meetings so that it would shorten the public comment. And I've noticed in the last couple of meetings that's after instead of right away getting it over with, and obviously I can tell, you know, we go all day long, I get
right,
it, but
right.
But what is there a reason for that, are we making provisions so that the public comment is still viable?
So let me go back a decade before when I served on Reading City Council. We had the public comment at the beginning, and people came forward, and they were very much criticizing some of the members of the Reading City Council. And they had a majority. I was outside that majority, me and Council Member Cad. And at that time, they made a decision to take only 30 minutes and move the rest to the back of the meeting, which means all those people are going to go home and they're not going to be listened to. They did it in that year because they were not able to take the criticism from the public.
Right.
And that was wrong. It was a bad decision. It stifled public comment, and it was wrong. This time around, it's not that we have any issues with public comment. We're having problems with people yelling from the floor, disrupting the public commenter.
Right.
A very different scenario. When I was chair, I kept the public meeting or the public open time as early as possible, so people would have that time, and I set no limit on it. So if it took 2 hours or 3 hours.
Are they setting limits on, like, if we got, you know, a half an hour before lunch, is public comment then going on after lunch?
Correct, yeah.
So it's not really shortening it, it's just moving it
right.
up the way.
We do take a pretty hard break at noon because we have closed session and often consultants that come in, and so a little different than on city council here at noon. So if we don't get through public comment. Now, it is the prerogative of the chair as to the layout of the agenda. I tried to keep the public comment fairly close to the front. Now, what happened during that is a few people started taking advantage of that, right? Making rude, obscene, profane statements. And it seemed like the louder they were getting, the more that they liked it. Now, under the supervision or under the chair, Cry today, he has the ability to set that where he wants. And the last couple meetings, we've had quite a few presentations up front that we wanted to hear before public comment, and that certainly comes at the discretion of the chair, and that's totally his decision. So will that remain that way for the rest of the year? I think not. I doubt it. But it will be up to the chair. And of course, this election will determine whether we have this chair remaining. Or,
if he's going to stay in, he's going to stay out the year, or how long's the term in the chair?
It'll go for the remainder of the year.
And then next year you guys will.
And then we'll vote for a new chair, and that could be him or me or anybody else, okay. Or Supervisor Kelstrom. And Supervisor Garmin will not be there, so it won't be him. But that's a vote by the majority, just the same as it is at City Council.
So are you for the auditing of the departments, that's what Wynn Carpenter's claim to fame is to get in there and do a forensic audit on everything. Are you opposed or?
Yeah,
or
candidate Carpenter is correct. In fact, Chair Cry just did an audit on a particular fee that came out of the clerk's office and found it to be excessive. And that's taxing the public illegally. It's an excessive fee is an illegal tax. That was just one fee, and we found it to be very much overpriced. So Mr. Carpenter is correct. Item by item should be looked at to make sure that we're doing it correct. And this is a big organization. We have, roughly 2,300 employees. And these things should be happening periodically. So Mr. Carpenter is correct. Audit is a good thing. We should not look away from that. We should support that because we don't want to do anything wrong. We want to charge you a correct fee, not excessive fees. And if we can lower a fee for the average person, I think that's going to be great. And I'm hoping that occurs this whole year. And I know it'll be a priority when a candidate Carpenter makes it and becomes a Supervisor Carpenter. I know he will not let us down on that.
So transparency across the board, have we had it, or do we have transparency at the elections office? Do we have transparency at all county departments, or is that an issue?
It is an issue. As you know, I've had my concerns with the elections department for quite some time. I am happy to say that other departments like Health and Human Services under the direction of Laura Birch is doing quite well. She's been tasked with trying to refine things, improve things, and I think she's been doing that. So when you have a particular department that I believe is lacking, put direction to it and correct it. And it is going to be the election department. I have underestimated the importance of the election department for quite some time. Having fair elections is the most important thing to get it right, and it's not right yet.
I have a chat room. I'm not sure I can resist this. Something about license plates. There was something kind of a blow up at this last meeting. I wasn't there.
I was. Now, Supervisor Rickert does have an unusual license plate that she ordered, and it does start off with the number 666. I wouldn't have picked that number.
Yeah, she could have probably refused that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked it. It's really not an issue with Shasta County, right? It's not our deal. We've got a lot more important issues than that.
It was just funny because I thought that was a mistake.
I had to go out and look at mine, though. Oh, boy, I did that.
Yeah, crazy days indeed. We're going to be doing a podcast tomorrow, and we're going to talk about Trump's plan for the economy and going to a new currency at some point. I think it's in the works. So,
is it going to be guns? Because I like that.
You like the well, guns can be currency, I guess. It depends on what you're talking about.
They never go down.
Nope.
It's true.
Now, where is your podcast going to be found? Because this is going to be different.
It's going to be on Rumble at Sovereign Minds or at mountaintopmedia.com. Probably won't go out till if not tomorrow night, the day after, and then we'll do two. But tomorrow's going to be an important one because I think I've got some intel here that's going to be mind-blowing on what may be occurring with and there's a ton of evidence to this. It's crazy.
But that is a good fact, though. When you take a look at the stock market, it's at an all-time high right now, but it goes up and down, and you can gain and you can lose. But guns never go down. That's interesting.
Well, real things like gold, silver, guns, land. I don't know. Maybe we could talk about it. But I guess I think we're at the end of the show here.
We are.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I know I kind of popped in on last moment.
Oh, that's all right. I guess Linda told me my sister, but I don't pay any attention to her.
So just encouraging everybody to get out and get that ballot turned in and do it specifically on Election Day.